Assalamu alaikum, girls. Welcome back to another episode of the E-Muslima podcast. I hope you're all doing really well and you're all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. I literally cannot wait. Ramadan, inshallah, it's literally around the corner. Like, I am feeling so ready. I feel motivated. I've had my ibadah burnouts, so I feel like I've got my energy back, alhamdulillah, to go forward with Ramadan again this year, inshallah. I feel like you can just tell when Ramadan has arrived. Like, all of a sudden, the environment that you are surrounding yourself with, everything's just a bit more happier. Like, everybody's more positive, everyone's happy, everyone's ready to change themselves, everybody's changing their priorities and focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everybody's getting the iftar plans ready, the sahur plans ready, everybody's planning all these gatherings. It's honestly, you know, everybody's going to the masjid, everybody's taking out their Quran, like, everybody's just ready and excited. Like, my whole Instagram right now, alhamdulillah, is just fueled and filled with so many people kind of decorating their homes for Ramadan, inshallah, which actually is one of the best ways to kind of get you into that spirit of, you know, getting excited for Ramadan, because you are allowed to be excited for Ramadan. You are allowed to decorate your house, and because it is something so rewarding, the fact that people are decorating their homes because of this beautiful blessed month and trying to create this beautiful happy environment for their loved ones around them and for themselves, trust me that you're going to get rewarded immensely for that, inshallah. Like, Allah loves seeing that. Allah loves seeing the people who really make Islam into such a beautiful thing. Obviously, Islam is beautiful on its own, that's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm trying to say that there's people out there who are, you know, unapologetically being Muslim in their homes, and I love it. We love to see it, and it's just so beautiful. Subhanallah. Okay, so this episode is actually really, really exciting. So this is how to prepare for Ramadan, how to get into that Ramadan mindset, because some of you, you know, unfortunately, there obviously will be some people who may not be feeling their best this Ramadan, because many lives have been lost. Obviously, as we know from Turkey, Syria, we've had those earthquakes, and there are many countries who are still living under poverty, so some people may not be able to experience Ramadan to the kind of the fun side of it. But this is why Ramadan is a month where we have to show our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, Ramadan is a month of giving. So Ramadan is a month of giving, meaning that you are donating, you are helping out those in need, you are helping your neighbors around you. You are helping and giving zakat and sadaqah wherever you go. You're giving charity wherever you go. You're giving charity through your mind, your heart, your tongue, your hands. You are giving sadaqah wherever you go, whether that would be a smile. Remember, smiling at someone, it's sunnah, it's a form of charity when you're just smiling at someone, subhanallah. So Ramadan is about looking after one another. You know, there are some people who may not be actually getting food this Ramadan, which is very sad and heartbreaking. May Allah protect them and grant them Jannah, Ameen. So obviously, you know, it's our duty to be there for them, because remember, on the Day of Judgment, obviously in this dunya, those that are in poverty, they are in desperate need for food from us. We live in a Western society where we can actually donate these foods, and so that's why they are really wanting this from us. They are wanting our donations. But you have to remember, on the Day of Judgment, we are going to be the ones needing their du'as. They're not going to be the ones. They will be entering Jannah without questioning. We will be the ones that are getting questioned. And trust me, we will, at that point in time, we will be wishing that we could have done more. Because trust me, the prayers and du'as that those in poverty make, they'll always be answered. And we need those du'as. We need them more than they need us. Subhanallah. On the Day of Judgment, we actually need them. So that goes to show the significance that Allah has put them in this place where, actually, instead of them needing us to give them the food physically, we actually need them in order to enter Jannah. So think about it that way. Anyway, I feel like I'm rambling on because there's just so much that I can talk about when it comes to Ramadan and kind of the attributes of Ramadan. But let's talk about how to prepare for Ramadan, inshallah. And I'm really excited about this because I have literally the longest list. I have like 15 ways that you can prepare yourself for Ramadan, inshallah. So let's get started. Number one, renewing your intentions. Now, before Ramadan, there are some hearts that are feeling uneasy. There are hearts that have gone through things that we cannot imagine. You know, there may have been bereavement, or there may have been a sadness or a grievance in the family, or any point in our life that can cause a heart to feel distressed and uneasy. There are some hearts, unfortunately, that have been lost and are now misguided, but they have this yearning that they want to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, that is a sign within itself. The fact that if you are feeling like you really want to change yourself for Ramadan and you want to become better, take that as a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that He has put that sign within you shows that Allah wants you to get better for Him. Allah wants you to turn back to Him. Do not miss any feelings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts inside you, because that is a way of communicating with you and making you realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, girl. Like, He loves you so much that He wants you to turn back to Him. And I think that's truly beautiful, because, you know, in the Quran it states how Allah can, you know, guide who He wills and misguide who He wills. And you know what? You should be so thankful that Allah is guiding you. There are so many people that sin and Allah just leaves them there. So let's be happy. It doesn't matter how much you've sinned, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that beautiful feeling inside of you, that should be more than enough. That should be more than enough, because that is a calling to you. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you, enter my Jannah. I want you to enter my Jannah, but just need you to do this. Just turn towards me. You know, in the Quran, it says, you know, when we walk to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes running to us. And I actually went to this beautiful sister's circle last night at my friend's house. Thank you so much to my lovely friend for hosting that. And one of the sisters was saying, imagine you walking very slowly to your friend, right? So imagine you're walking very slowly to your friend. Do you expect your friend to come running to you if you're walking slowly towards them? Like, you won't expect that. And think about your mother. You know, our mums love us so much. One of the beautiful mercy signs that Allah has showed us, you know, through His mercy, is showing mercy through our beloved mothers. So imagine, like, we're walking slowly towards our mums. Like, do you actually think our mums are gonna run to us? Like, my mum wouldn't, you know what I mean? And she was saying that, and she goes, you know, when you walk towards Allah, Allah literally runs to you, no matter what state you're in. But if you walk towards Him, He comes running to you. That just shows the immense love, the indescribable love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for somebody, for a believer that turns to Him. No matter how much you've sinned, Allah still loves you. No matter how you look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. And you need to reassure yourself that, you know what, we live in a dunya where people make us feel like we're not good enough. People are out here making us feel like when we sin, that's it, that our sins define us. They don't. They really don't. Don't ever underestimate the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So get one of the practical tips. So obviously I've kind of talked about intention. Now, moving on to the kind of the practical side to it, get yourself like an intention journal or an intentional notepad, or you can even do this digitally. I actually have on my iPad, I've kind of set up like an intentions kind of like planner work, like this template thing on my iPad, and I just write down my daily intentions. Right now I'm working on one with my Ramadan intentions, so you can get like a nice cute kind of planner template thing. You can obviously make it look really aesthetic, because I like to do that, because that stuff motivates me. You can do that and write Ramadan intentions. And go easy on yourself. You don't need to write loads and loads of intentions, but three well thought out intentions you can write down and that you can work towards throughout Ramadan. And whenever you are feeling a dip in Ramadan, which we all face, by the way, and it is very normal to have that dip in Ramadan where you feel like, you just feel like, ugh, you know? So it's really important to realize that dip, whenever you are feeling, you know, that way, you can go back to your Ramadan intentions planner journal, and you can look at it and you can remind yourself that. You have to think to yourself, hang on a minute, I feel like that, but I was the same person that wrote those intentions down. So actually that shows my capability, subhanAllah. So you have to think about it like that. You need to give yourself a bit more credit, and do not always focus on the negative. because again, you are in this beautiful, blessed month and Allah is putting that feeling for you, you know, for some beautiful reason. It might be a test for you to see how you can pick yourself back up in this month of Ramadan and that you turn to Him. That could be your one-way ticket to Jannah. You never actually know these things. So I definitely recommend get yourself a nice, cute journal, write down your Ramadan intentions and go back to them throughout the month of Ramadan when you are feeling like you're having like an ibadah burnout. And yeah, so look back, and I think that would be an amazing way to kind of start preparing yourself and training your mindset to get into Ramadan. Because you have to remember, like, you can't just straight away go into Ramadan by, you know, say for example, if you weren't praying your salah to like 5 times a day, even though that's amazing, Allah Mubarak, like that really is amazing, but you have a high chance of going through ibadah burnout. So, you know, go easy on yourself, take it step by step, and you have to remember, nothing will be beneficial if there is no significant intention behind it. For example, I'll give you a quick example of, for example, when you're reading the Quran and you're reading it without meaning, there's a difference of how you feel towards the Quran when you read it without meaning and when you read it with meaning. Somebody could be there who has memorized the Quran word for word in Arabic but actually knows nothing about what it means, but there could be someone who's maybe memorized maybe 2 pages of the Quran, but they know the meaning word for word in their own language. They understand what Allah is saying. Who's going to feel more connected to the Quran? Obviously the person who knows the meaning, because they're actually feeling connected to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, that just goes to show that you can't do anything without having the right intentions. You can't feel that sense of connectedness and that sense of belonging within yourself when it comes to your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having pure, sincere intentions. So everything revolves around your niyyah. Niyyah is an Arabic word for intention. Number 2, keep track of your salah. Now, if you are somebody that is struggling to pray salah, go onto YouTube. You know, there are so many different resources out there that can help you perform your salah step by step. And also, if you are struggling to perform your salah, maybe find the pinpoint. Pinpoint the exact root that is causing you to make you feel not as connected with your salah, and think about it. So say, for example, if you are struggling to pray 5 times a day, identify the root cause. Perhaps you might not actually be understanding the meaning of what you are praying. That is usually the main common cause. Sometimes we don't feel as connected with our salah. We have to do it because it's an obligatory act of worship. It's a commandment from Allah. We have to listen to it. But we might not feel connected with it. There's a difference between doing it for the sake of doing it because it's obligatory, and the difference of between that and feeling the connectedness with it. So understand what you are trying to say in your salah. Try that once. It might be a bit more extra work, but just try it once and honestly you will feel so much better, alhamdulillah. Another issue could be perhaps you don't feel connected to your salah because you don't understand why you're doing it. So obviously that kind of relates to not knowing the meaning of it, but sometimes you might not actually understand why you are doing it. So go away, read books, read the Quran, because the Quran talks about salah a lot. Salah is actually the first thing that we get asked about on the day of judgment. So imagine if we don't even pass that first question, we actually have no hope. So it goes to show the significance of salah. It's the fard. Our life revolves around salah. Remember, Allah doesn't need us to perform salah for Him, but we need to perform salah for ourselves. Salah is a form of protection. You know what I've realized? And becoming consistent with my salah, alhamdulillah, it's driven me away from sin. I don't even think about the sin anymore. Obviously, I do think about it, but the fact that when I read and perform my salah, it kind of gives me that nudge, like, wait, hang on a minute, you shouldn't be doing this. And alhamdulillah, I'm so grateful for salah, because it is Allah's way of protecting us. Our salah is there. Why do you think it's there to put? Why do you think we have to do it 5 times a day? We do it 5 times a day because it allows us to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. It allows us foremost to really connect ourselves with Allah and be reminded with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember what Allah says in the Quran, surely in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find rest. That just goes to show that salah is a form of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we remember Allah, the more we feel at peace. Even though we might struggle to do that in the first instance, but trust me, when you push yourself, when you realize and understand the significance of salah, it will naturally motivate you and gravitate you towards it. Because once you start seeing the benefits of salah, trust me, instead of you training yourself to get up and pray salah and drag your heart to salah, you know, inshallah, it will be your heart dragging you to salah, which is like the best thing. Tip number three, I honestly love tip number three because I feel like I've only recently started to feel this deep connection, and that is reconnecting yourself with the beloved Quran. How beautiful is that? The Quran, everybody's on their own Quran journey. And I started my Quran journey last year. Alhamdulillah, I've managed to, you know, successfully read the entire Quran quite a few times. But I never actually understood the meaning of it. And I made one of the biggest du'as that I made during Umrah was, Ya Rab, please allow me to stay connected with the Quran and use that as a guideline for how I should live my life. I mean, that was one of my biggest du'as. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Alhamdulillah, everything changed. So actually, before Umrah, I don't know what kind of got me into doing Quran journaling, but I started doing Quran journaling. And Quran journaling is this beautiful concept. I don't know who's come up with it, but it's a beautiful concept that allows you to reconnect with yourself with the Quran in an aesthetic way. Does that sound really weird? Like, it's making Quran really enjoyable, and I love it so much because I remember back in the day, like, my mum would be the one to tell me to read Quran. I never actually went out of my way to do it myself. It would always be my mum telling me, go read the Quran. And I used to, but I never felt anything from it. Like, alhamdulillah, you know, last Ramadan, I remember, I think the previous Ramadan, I managed to finish the entire Quran, but I didn't know anything. Like, I learnt nothing. I read, you know, all 30 juz, but like, I just didn't gain anything from it. So I don't know what happened last year, but I got my iPad. I think it was my iPad, actually. My iPad really helped me to get this beautiful app. Oh, I get it now. Okay, so story time. So my beautiful friend, one of my beautiful best friends, she messaged me on WhatsApp and she was like, showing me this Quran app that she's reading. And I was like, I was reading the tafsir, right? And the tafsir was in modern day English. So it wasn't in like old English that I couldn't understand. Like, I have read so many books. I have tried so hard to find Qurans with English translation, with English tafsirs, but it's always been in old English, and that has never helped me. Like, I still didn't understand anything, so I was really struggling until my friend showed me this app. And all of you lovely girls ask me about this app all the time, every time I do my Quran journaling on my Instagram, and that app is called Tartil. That is Tartel, double E, then an L. You can find it on the App Store. I don't know about Android, but you can definitely find it on the App Store. And it is this amazing app that has all of the surahs, of course, and all the ayahs are separated, and then the English translation and the tafsir is obviously underneath that, and the English is in modern day English, so obviously it was really easy to read and understand. And whilst I was reading the tafsir of some surahs, right, I actually saw some of these tafsirs come up on like an Instagram post or something that I saved. And having that, reading that, I just think to myself, okay, so this is what I'm actually reading from. I'm reading from the Quran. And it sounds crazy, right? It sounds wild. Like, I'm 22. Like, I know that I'm reading these from the Quran. But when you actually read it yourself and you find it in the surah and you finally put that quote, that ayah from the Quran on Instagram, and you kind of put it back into the context of the Quran that you are reading, the surah that you are reading, everything makes sense. And wow, subhanAllah, ever since I started my Quran journey, I don't know what happened. And do you know what? Take this from me. Take this from someone who would read the Quran and never understand anything, to now, whenever I started reading the Quran and reading the tafsir, my life changed completely. Subhanallah, my life and my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed completely, to the point I actually can't go throughout a day without reading Quran. And that's my heart, girls. Like, that is my heart. That is my heart dragging me to read Quran. It's not me dragging my heart to read Quran anymore, it's my heart. And you know what, like, especially when you are upset and you feel lonely and you really want to seek the validation from other people, and you just want hugs from other people, and you just want people to be around you and make you feel less lonely. Whenever you get times like that, right, open up the Quran app, open up Tartil, pick out any surah, because I guarantee you that surah will relate to you in some way or another. And I was telling somebody this the other day, but the reason why we run to Allah's creation for advice and for help is because we seek a quick response. We don't have sabr. We don't develop that sabr enough to wait for Allah to give us a response. We are so impatient that we seek quick advice from other people so that we feel like we can be reassured. But how many times has that worked out for you? Unless your friend has spoken about the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the advice has never actually been helpful, because still, again, you'll come back feeling upset, maybe in another form, in another day or something like that. And one of my biggest advices is that when you are feeling lonely, open up the Quran, read the tafsir, because you are reading the words of Allah. These are direct words of Allah. They have not been changed. They have not been changed since the first revelation. These words are there. They are exact. They are precise. These are direct words and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst I was going through all of these surahs, right, I think I'm on surah, I've just finished doing Quran journaling on surah Yunus, and I have learnt so much stuff already, so much parts of different ayahs that I can relate to my daily life, and that I am, and these are words of Allah that I am thinking about. So when it comes to me being lonely, First instance, I think about, for example, verily with hardship comes ease, or I think about, you know, Allah does not burden a soul with more than it can bear, or I'll think about, you know, we may love what's bad for us, or we may hate what's good for us. That's something that I've been kind of, that's the part of an ayah that I've been really dealing with a lot recently. Another ayah that I fell in love with whilst Quran journaling is that Allah does not change the condition of a believer until they change what is in themselves. Another part of an ayah is seek help through patience and prayer. Subhanallah, these are direct words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the right advice. This is the advice that you should be seeking, not the advice from the creation. Because nothing more is reassuring than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might be hurt still, but trust me, your heart will feel some type of way. I could go on and on about this, but the feeling is so indescribable. Like, you can literally hear it from my voice. Reading the meaning of the Quran, I'm going to get so emotional saying this, but reading the meaning of the Quran has allowed me to be so strong and be confident in myself, and is allowed for the first time in my life, I don't know why I'm crying, but for the first time in my life, I found my self-worth. And that does not come from people, it comes from Allah. And all of a sudden, once you start actually connecting with Allah that way, where you are looking at the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings you so much peace, unmatched peace, by the way, that it makes you feel so content with yourself, makes you realize your true purpose, and all of a sudden, you start not having these worries about these small issues around you, because you know that you're a lot stronger than that. And every single time, like, I sin, we all sin, but every single time I sin, right, in every surah that I've read so far, up until Surah Yunus, all the tafsirs, it talks about three things. It talks about Allah being the most forgiving. That comes up in every single surah that I've read so far. Subhanallah. Do you know what? Quran journaling just taught me, the Quran, reading the tafsir, taught me the significance of repentance and asking Allah for forgiveness. That's one of the biggest lessons I've learned. Another one I've learned is Allah is the most merciful. Subhanallah. Allah is the most merciful. And we don't actually realize, we don't see Allah's mercy. We really don't. Allah blesses us. That's a sign of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people love and care for us like our mothers, that's a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us His mercy through our mothers. We don't see it. We take it for granted. How crazy is that? Like, when you put it like that, it's just something else, isn't it? Allah's mercy is so unmatched. And Allah talks about a lot in the Quran, every single surah that I've read so far, is that Allah has given signs and signs and signs to the people of the world just for some people to disbelieve. Some people's hearts are so hardened that they will never reap the rewards of Jannah. They will go straight to Jahannam. And you know, at that point, when you're a believer and you are reading All of these things, it makes you realise one thing. Alhamdulillah for being Muslim. Genuinely speaking, Alhamdulillah for being Muslim. It is just something that I cannot see myself not being a Muslim anymore, you know? May Allah keep us on the right path. But anyway, kind of moving on from the emotional side of this tip, I just realised this might be a very long podcast episode. Great. The practical tip of it. So you can do this digitally. You can do this on a hard copy, on a piece of paper. You can set up your own journal, however you want to do it. So let's talk about how you can start Quran journaling this Ramadan. So a lot of sisters actually ask me on Instagram how I Quran journal because they find it overwhelming and they just don't know where to start. So I'm going to give you kind of the easy version that I'm going with because I feel like it's the most practical and beneficial for me. So this is how to Quran journal. So number one, find a good Quran book/app that has the meaning of every ayah in all of the surahs. Make sure you can understand the type of language the tafsir is in, whether that's in Old English or Modern English, or whether that's in your own native language. That's absolutely fine. However, it's the best for you. Like I said, I struggle to understand Old English, so I use the app Tartil because it's in Modern English and all of the ayahs are broken down in the surah, so I can look at the meaning of every specific ayah and kind of link it to other ayahs as well, which is really nice. And for me, I actually understand this 200 times better than Old English. Number two, pick a surah. So I like to kind of just do this in the order, so going from Surah Al-Fatiha all the way to the last surah. Number three, read the Arabic of an ayah so you can get your Quran recitation in there too. This is really important because you don't just want to be reading the English tafsir. If you have the ability to read Arabic, so definitely read the Arabic of the Quran, because that way not only you are understanding the tafsir, but you are getting a bit of Quran recitation in there. You are pronouncing, you are practicing your tajweed, you are trying to beautify every ayah for the sake of Allah. It's so beautiful, and that's why I love the app Tartil, because they do it in a way where it's like you can practice ayahs. And also the app, by the way, I feel like Tartil should be sponsoring me. I feel like with this app it's amazing because with the subscription, so they have a subscription like a premium version as well, so I don't have the premium version anymore because I kind of just like, it's good enough for me, it's sufficient for me, alhamdulillah. But the premium version actually allows you to record yourself whilst you are reciting the surah, and then it will like bleep if you got anything wrong, and then it will show you the correct recitation after, and then obviously you can practice. So it has that feature as well, which is amazing. Then number three, so make sure you read the Arabic so you can get your Quran recitation, but then obviously read the meaning of the ayah, so the tafsir. Number four, so as you are going along each ayah, pick out the verses that resonate with you the most, or that stand out to you the most, or that will help you and guide you, or whatever your reason is for picking out that certain ayah. Number five, what I like to do, because I like to do this on my iPad, so I've got Tartil on my iPad, and then I do my Quran journaling on my iPad, but obviously you can do this on your phone, you can do this on your notes section of your phone or iPad, or you can do this on like a journal, completely up to you. So what I like to do is, like, you have this copy and paste option on Tartil. So I copy and paste the ayah into an app called GoodNotes. So it's like a digital note-taking app. And so again, you can use a digital note-taking app or a hard copy notebook. It's completely up to you. And then I kind of like make it look pretty. So if you go onto my Instagram at emuslima, you'll kind of see in my story highlights, I've got examples of Quran journaling that I've done. And I've made it pretty because why not? Like, I love it, and obviously I want to make this into a beautiful experience for me, so of course I'm going to make anything that I do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautiful. The whole purpose of Quran journaling is to get Quran recitation in. Number two is to understand the meaning of the Quran. Number three, it provides a reflection of your actions and deeds when reading the surahs and the meanings. What's so beautiful about reading the tafsir is that you can actually relate it to your own life. And whilst you're reading the Quran and the meaning, you kind of just naturally think about these certain events that have happened in your life where you can relate that ayah to. And it's so beautiful because naturally you are now set in your mind to resort to the Quran, to your life situations, without even realizing. Subhanallah. Number four, you know, I have a greater love and connection to the Quran. I'm not even going to lie to you. Ever since learning the tafsir behind the Quran, it's dragged, like I said to you before, it's dragged my heart to the Quran now. And I now have a greater love and connection to the Quran. I love my Quran journey. It is the most beautiful, empowering thing ever. Like, you should see the Quran as your friend. a friend that you can resort to. Just like we go to our friends when we need advice. But there is no other friend like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So your Quran is your friend. That is the friend that you should be going to for advice, subhanAllah. Number five, one thing that's amazing about Quran journaling is that you have a note of all of the different ayahs that stand out to you the most. So always refer back to your journal in times of need, where you need encouragement and just an iman boost. So it's really nice to kind of just look back at the different ayahs and could just kind of remind yourself. And again, if you ever feel like you are going to do a sin or something, always go back to that ayah. Look at it. Make sure it's easily accessible for you so that you don't have to feel lazy about it, because shaitan will do the most to the strongest of the believers. And obviously there are many other reasons too, subhanAllah, but obviously these are my five reasons. Again, I pray this really helps, and so many of you girls have been asking me to start Quran journaling in a way that is easy, so I really hope, inshallah, that I have managed to provide this for you. So again, try doing Quran journaling this Ramadan, and I tell this to everyone, make the ibadah that you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautiful. One of the biggest things that really encouraged me, and you know what, I think I'm going to link this with my tip number four is, so my tip number four, so I'm going to link it back to my tip number three. My tip number four would be record everything that you do. So on Instagram, I'm seeing, and TikTok people, you know, alhamdulillah, all of these amazing Muslim people who are, you know, showing the ibadah that they do. And it's really inspiring. It's so, so motivating. Like, they don't show their face at all, but they're just kind of showing their kind of routines. And you know what? You don't need to be posting this stuff online if you don't want to, but keep it for yourself, because as humans, you know, unlike Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remembers everything, we're humans at the end of the day. We are nothing compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what I mean? So we are going to forget the ibadah that we do. And that's why we are so hard on ourselves and we never actually realize how good we are, because we forget about the good things that we do very quickly. Like, I don't actually know what I had for breakfast yesterday. So that just goes to show that I am very forgetful. Like, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, has records of all the good deeds that you do. He knows the exact dates and times. Me, I can't remember what I did in terms of my ibadah last Thursday, apart from Salah. Like, I don't actually remember exactly what else I did. I did something, but I can't remember exactly or what exact surah I was reading. Record yourself. That's one thing that I've been doing. Alhamdulillah, I like to share these things because, I don't know, I just love it. Like, I love sharing and spreading the love of Islam to those around me. And of course, before you post something, make sure you renew your intentions and you're doing it not to show off or not to feel like you're better than other people, but you are there to inspire people and spread the love of Islam, inshallah. So again, I love to do this. And then when I look at it, I just think to myself, like, this is what I should be doing. Like, this is me working towards my deen. And whenever I feel sad or I feel like I'm going through like ibadah burnout, I can just quickly refer to myself, look at those videos and be like, right, the same girl, me, that's feeling like this right now, is the same girl that's showing her dedication and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, record yourself, record it. If you don't want to record yourself or take pictures, write it down. Keep a track of what you are doing. And trust me, it will help massively. And actually, this links to my next tip, which is number five. So number five, I would 100% say, have an ibadah tracker. Have like maybe like a plan. You can, you know, handwrite this. You can do it digitally. It's up to you. You can actually buy these. So I'm seeing so many, alhamdulillah, so many small businesses coming out with like Ramadan trackers and things. Track your ibadah. And I've said this in one of my previous episodes as well, but track your ibadah this Ramadan. Honestly, like, you will feel so good. Like, you will feel so good because you have a track of everything that you do in Ramadan that you feel good about yourself. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually recording everything you are doing, but it's always nice to physically see it yourself on paper. So look at it and think about how much progress you've made. And then when it comes to when Ramadan is leaving us, then you'll realize, you know what? This was the best version of me. Obviously, we can all strive to be better for the sake of Allah. Nobody is perfect. We will always, always strive for the sake of Allah. No matter what, how much ibadah we do, it will never be enough. Like, we need to keep going because it's nothing compared to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does for us. So it's really important that, you know, you keep track of it and make it look pretty. Again, like, as a girl, I love making my ibadah look beautiful. Like, I love making my prayer area and space beautiful. So keep your tracker with you, make it aesthetic so that you can, you know, make sure that you are writing on it. I will at some point share the tracker that I'm using on my Instagram for Ramadan, inshallah, because quite a few of you have been asking me that. Mine is a digital copy, but I absolutely love it. So yes, keep track of your ibadah this Ramadan. Start getting your trackers sorted out now so that you don't have to like get busy doing it during Ramadan. Okay, so number six, and that is organizing your prayer space for Ramadan. So I'm just going to give you an example of how I kind of organize my prayer room. So actually, my bedroom is quite small, alhamdulillah. It's quite small. I love it though because it's so comfy and I made it look really aesthetic. Like I made it, you know, kind of like my color theme. So like very like white, kind of furry. That teddy bear coat material, like all of my furniture is like that. Recently I got this beautiful ottoman where I can like do my Quran on there, and like I can put my candles on there, and because it's an ottoman I put all of my prayer and my ibadah stuff in there, so like my prayer gown, my prayer mat and so on and so forth. And I absolutely love it. So because my room is quite small, I make sure that my prayer mat is already laying on the floor. Alhamdulillah, luckily nobody comes into my room and like, you know, tramples all over it. So it doesn't get dirty at all and it's always remained clean. And I never kind of stand on it either unless I'm praying. And the reason why I have it laid out on there already rather than folding it and keeping it away is because with me, it's like I want to make my ibadah easy for me to access, because that is my number one priority in life. So I need to make my number one priority in life easy for me to complete. So in order for me to do that, I make sure that my prayer mat is laid out so that, for example, when it's Asr time, I hear the Adhan go, I literally just get on my prayer mat. If I'm on my bed, I'll get up, I'll stand on my prayer mat, or I'll sit on my prayer mat before Adhan starts. And that's the nice thing, because you have to remember, you know, angels, subhanAllah, angels make dua for you when you stay steadfast on your prayer mat after you finish praying your salah, and also whilst you are waiting for salah to begin, or whilst you're waiting for the Adhan. So sometimes I actually just sit on my prayer mat and I'll kind of like read my Quran on there whilst I wait for like Maghrib or something to start, and it is so lovely and easy. And again, make your ibadah and the way you access your ibadah easy for you. For example, like your Quran, if you've got a hard copy of the Quran, don't put it somewhere that's really hard for you to access. Like don't put it on the top of your cupboard if you can't reach. Do you see what I'm saying? So for me personally, like an easy access for my Quran, I have it on my iPad. It's so quick to just go on there because everything's bookmarked already, and when I open the app it just takes me straight to the page. So obviously there's not much page turning or anything like that, alhamdulillah. So that way it's really easy for me. So you want to make sure that your prayer area, your prayer mat is very easily accessible to. And also one of the biggest things throughout Ramadan, one of the biggest goals I recommend people doing, and it's something that I am working on as well, so again a big reminder to myself foremost, and that is to stay steadfast on your prayer mat after you finish praying salah. A lot of people, they rush their salah and they just get up straight away, or they do it perfectly and they just get up straight away once they are finished. No, sit down, take that time to relax and breathe and think about your salah. Reflect on your salah. That's one of the biggest things that I am trying to do, is reflecting on your salah. Read Quran whilst on your salah. Do your dhikr, do your adhkar, read your ayatul kursi, do your four quls. You know, do dhikr, you know, be in that prolonged remembrance of Allah. Because remember in the Quran, like I said, verily do hearts find rest in the remembrance of Allah. So, with the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. So, again, it's even telling us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you remember me, I will remember you. So stay in that prolonged feeling and setting of you just staying there and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this Ramadan. Because trust me, it's also a way of letting you unwind yourself as well. Also another thing, like personally for me, one thing that really helps is lighting candles. So whenever I'm doing my ibadah, whenever I'm doing salah, or whenever I'm like reading Quran, I will, or if I'm reading an Islamic book, or if I'm doing like my Quran classes, what I would do is I would always turn my lights off and I would light 2 free candles, and just have them around me. Like, it is the most beautiful kind of like mood lighting ever, and I love it so much. And I have like a snack, like a pot of snacks or fruit next to me. I have like my matcha there, or like my water bottle, and I have my like AirPods there if I want to listen to a podcast. And you know, I've got all of my things around me, and I've got my tasbih. Like, it's just there, and I've created myself like this little kind of ibadah setting, like this little worship area for me to kind of just unwind and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst enjoying good food at the same time. Again, make your ibadah. And you know what, unfortunately on social media I see a lot of people complaining why people are beautifying their ibadah. When I say beautifying, like making it aesthetic, or like making it, you know, just really pretty. Make it pretty. Make your ibadah. That is something that you should be beautifying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, when you are reading the Quran, every ayah that you are reading, you want to beautify. You want your recitation to be beautiful. You want the angels to be, and remember, when you are reading Quran, right, the angels come and sit and listen to you reading the Quran. How beautiful is that? Not just one angel, many, many, many angels. I can't remember the number exact, but it is so beautiful. And you kind of want to make your recitation beautiful, right? So take care of all of that. Make your ibadah so beautiful. So yes, sort out your prayer mat area. Again, if you've got a house, you know, alhamdulillah, a lot of people have their own house. I don't have my own house yet. Inshallah, one day I will. But, you know, decorate your house. You know, decorate your house. Get ready for Ramadan. If not, sort out your prayer area. You know, decorate your bedroom. If you're at home, make your surroundings physically so beautiful that it inspires you and allows you to elevate yourself and elevate your motivation when it comes to Ramadan. Like, you want to really be in an area that uplifts you during Ramadan, especially if you live in an area that doesn't, there's not many Muslims there and they don't really celebrate Ramadan like that. Then your home, okay, your home should be the root and your surrounding that allows you to be unapologetically Muslim. So decorate your house, make it so beautiful, have the dates out, you know, have like little Ramadan countdowns, and you know, have your prayer mats out, have your Islamic books out, you know, have the Quran in the background on the TV. Make it beautiful, because Ramadan is a beautiful month, so why should we not go out of our way to decorate our homes for Ramadan? So yes, definitely do that, inshallah. Tip number seven, and that is create your own Ramadan countdown. Now, countdown for Ramadan, whether it is done mentally or by keeping physical signs around the home or your office, will help create this hype and buzz in your mind and amongst the people around you. When you and others are counting down to the same event, it becomes part of a regular conversation and the excitement spreads. Like, it's so beautiful. Like, I have it on my phone, I have it in my bedroom as well, and it's like 11 days till Ramadan, or like 10 days till Ramadan, and it's so exciting because every single day you wake up and you think, Alhamdulillah, thank you Ya Rab for allowing me to wake up to another day where I'm looking forward to Ramadan. That's a blessing. So again, think about it that way, inshallah. It is a beautiful investment to make. You can also just make it on like an app, so even like Canva or things like that, or you can find it anywhere online on Instagram, or you can just do it mentally. Number eight, in terms of how to prepare for Ramadan, and that is to seek knowledge about Ramadan. So actually understand why Ramadan is there, why does it exist, the origin of Ramadan, you know, the whole significance and beauty behind Ramadan as a whole. So this will help you to ensure that you will do things correctly and perfectly for Ramadan. You will know what is allowed, what isn't allowed, and you know, you can actually be more aware of how to carry out your ibadah. It will create a hype, as there are many motivational aspects and events in the month to look forward to. And finally, it is a reward reaper to gain more knowledge, and also to gain this beautiful knowledge about Islam, and then to go ahead and then share that knowledge with your brothers and sisters around you in Islam. That is going to be holding such a significance in terms of when you pass away, and if those people that you shared knowledge with, if they do the knowledge and they carry it out and they actually take on what you say and it benefits their life, and they are carrying out those changes that you've shared, that knowledge that you've shared, if they're implementing it into their life, you will get reward for it even after when you pass away. The more you know about Ramadan, the more you can apply, hence multiplying your rewards, inshallah. Also, talking about this, watch a pre-Ramadan series. There are so many amazing speakers out there who are going to be doing like a YouTube series to do with Ramadan, any topic that they want to talk about during Ramadan. So if you want a spiritual and educational reminder on Islam and our faith as Muslims, then I recommend watching some content online prior to Ramadan. I personally really love watching Mufti Meg and also Umar Suleiman. I think one of my favorite things from Yaqeen Institute was the Angel series. I think that was probably a lot of people's favorites back in Ramadan, and this was during lockdown Ramadan. So yes, the Angel series was absolutely beneficial for me. I loved it so much. And also, I've also watched their 30-day faith revival series in order for Ramadan preparation as well. They do have a few different series for you to, you know, get excited and prepare yourself for Ramadan, and also watch throughout the month of Ramadan as well. Here are just a few of these beautiful YouTube series that from Islamic speakers that will be coming out throughout Ramadan. So Yaqeen Institute, their series, Ramadan series this year, is to do with Jannah, which is so beautiful. I cannot wait to watch that. And then the trailer has come out for Dr. Haifa Yunis, who is such an amazing speaker. I have only discovered her last year, and wow, I absolutely love how she speaks. Allah Mubarak, so eloquent, and she just makes things so like she just understands us women, and she just talks about women in Islam, and she makes the content relevant to the problems that we go through today with Islam. Well, not with Islam, with ourselves, when it comes to trying to reach society's expectations and things whilst it compromises Islam. So she talks really in depth about it. So her series is to do with Builders of a Nation. So I'm really looking forward to watching that as well. Then you've got the Mufti Meg series. So he's got this pre-Ramadan boost that he put up a few days ago. So definitely have a read of that. And there's just so many pre-Ramadan series. Also on Instagram, on Reels and TikTok, make sure you filter out your social media. Make sure you filter out your social media. So this falls onto my next tip, which is number nine. So number nine is filtering out your social media for the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Now this is so important, because the last thing that you want is to go onto your social media whilst you are doing all of your ibadah, and you go onto social media and you see, you know, a lot of fitna there. So that is something to avoid. So start filtering out if you really want to get the most of Ramadan. Like I said before, control your nafs, okay? Control your desires. You need to control how you react in certain situations. If you want to make the most of it, then you need to get rid of your temptations. So start filtering out your social media. Follow people that have no benefit to you at all. Trust me, that is the biggest thing, because your reels that come up on your timeline and your feed and all of that stuff, like, it's going to impact you massively, and it's also dependent on what you watch and who you follow as well. So just be really mindful of that, inshallah. And personally for me, I would suggest try and stay away from going onto the explore page on Instagram, because there's a lot of fitna on there, and it's probably things that it's not going to be beneficial to you during Ramadan. So just stick to your follow list, inshallah. I personally think, and this is something that I'm going to try and work on, but I'm not entirely sure, and that is just not using your mobile phone during Ramadan. And I guess that might be quite controversial. For some people, social media is good because it has Islamic reminders and they're using it wisely. So that is a good thumbs up. If you're somebody that is spending time on their phone, on TikTok, just scrolling through random stuff that has no benefit to you, then maybe consider maybe deleting the app. If you don't want to, if you're not ready to not use your phone, then definitely delete the app, inshallah, for the month. And honestly, inshallah, it will work out. You also need to remember, like, it even says in scientific studies as well, that in order to break a bad habit, you need to be going on for it and without it for a good 30 days or more. So 30 days, meaning that, you know, subhanAllah, Ramadan is also around 30 days as well. So that is enough time to break away a bad habit, inshallah. number 10, and that is to make a Ramadan plan. So be it reading the entire Quran, ensuring you pray Taraweeh every night, or inviting your families over for iftar, make a list of things you would like to achieve in the month and then how you plan on achieving these goals. Now, a lot of us write our intentions. So like I talked about in the first step, which is renewing your intentions, it's really important that you write down how you're going to reach those intentions. So that's why I said come up with three thoughtful intentions. You don't need to do loads, because you want to make those three intentions goals that you can actually realistically achieve in the month of Ramadan. And remember, everybody's goals will be different, so please do not start comparing your Ramadan goals to somebody else's who's on a different level to you. That's not how it works. You're tailoring this journey to you. Your journey is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so do keep that in mind. It's so important that the goals that you're setting, they're realistic, and it is better than your life doesn't need to entirely take a different road in this month. So for example, take the month of work or change work hours so that you may continue to do these deeds after Ramadan. But obviously, that being said, that can be quite difficult. I know for me, that'd be really difficult as well. But, you know, do your best. Go to your workplace, because you never know what their response might be. Like, for example, the place where my mum works, they're giving her a week off work just so that she can settle in Ramadan and she can change up her routine and things like that. So you will never know the answer from your workplace unless you actually try. So definitely, you know, give it a go. Ask your workplace if you can do these things. Also, I'm going to, in my next future episodes throughout the Ramadan, when I release these series, I'm going to be releasing an episode to do with, inshallah, to do with a Ramadan morning routine, because I know a lot of people are asking me about that. So inshallah, I will definitely get that up and running, inshallah, soon. But yes, make a Ramadan plan. So plan out how you're going to do your day. Remember foremost that whatever plan you do, whether that be Ramadan or not, you have to remember that Salah takes number one priority. So you have to designate your daily tasks around Salah. So like I said, I always use this example. Think about Salah being the five pillars, physical pillars that are embedded in your heart. So then you walk, then you sort out your daily life around those pillars, inshallah. So yeah, write down maybe a time schedule. If you're not really good with time, then just write down maybe like a to-do list of what you're hoping to do in the month of Ramadan every single day. So like, for example, for me, my goals, my to-do list consists of doing all of my five salahs on time, reading Quran, doing Quran journaling along with it, doing things such as like dhikr, adhkar, giving charity when I can, preparing iftar for my family, inshallah, things like that. So again, just working towards those goals and having a plan will help you massively. And you also have to be kind to yourself, because sometimes not your plan might not always be followed, because you don't know the circumstances that are going to come your way. Only Allah knows. But you shouldn't give up on your plan. Keep going, okay? Be kind to yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. Number 11, and that is to know your life. Think about the events that are already planned throughout Ramadan that is happening that you might feel like might clash with Ramadan, and try and see if you can find a solution for it. So be aware, if Ramadan affects anything that is happening in the month or shortly after. So do you have exams during Ramadan? This is the first Ramadan, alhamdulillah, where I'm actually just working and there is no studying. Alhamdulillah. Last 10 years of my life, I think, has just been me fasting with like school and exams. So who knows, Ramadan might be very different this year. So ask yourself this, do you have exams during Ramadan? I'm guessing some of my listeners will definitely have exams during Ramadan. Or is there a major family event after Ramadan by a short time? Are you moving house? So and so. If so, plan these events from now. Study now so that you are prepared for your exams before the month of Ramadan starts. Be packed and ready to go before Ramadan, or plan that, you know, you do it after so that it doesn't take time away from your worship. The last thing you want to do is spend Ramadan at shopping centres. So buy any Eid presents and prepare for any other event before the month starts, because you do not want to be spending Ramadan going crazy, trying to sort out gifts and study. Even though, yeah, you can obviously do that stuff, but remember Ramadan is a month of worship. So you're using that time to really utilize your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's really important that you keep that as a priority and everything else comes second. But again, that doesn't mean you don't, you know, do a bit of studying. Maybe you can allocate a time, but make sure you are being mindful of the time that you have. So maybe now before Ramadan, do a bit of studying now, and then do a tiny bit of studying throughout every day of Ramadan, or set an allocated time. So maybe, for example, after Taraweeh, up until Fajr, if you want to do like an hour of studying or something, so that throughout the day you can just focus on your ibadah. That's just an idea. So again, you're in charge, so you have to, you know, make amends with your plan. So again, add this into your plan, add this into your daily Ramadan tracker, and be kind to yourself. Number 12 is a very important one, and that is to prepare your mind. So fasting is to refrain from more than just what we consume in our mouth. So start working on your patience, be extra vigilant with your conversations, ensure you are not backbiting, slandering, or talking about useless things. Now, training your heart, preparing your heart is different. So preparing your heart is talking about the intentions, what you want to do. Now, preparing your mind is a very powerful tool that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. And it's really important that you train your mind to think positively. You can't really train your heart to think positively. Your heart kind of just is a more of a deeper thing, but your mind is kind of the first thing that goes towards any judgment that you make or any decision that you make, right? It's the first process of thought. It's through your mind before it gets to your heart. And it's really important that you train your mind to see the best in others, start developing good traits. For example, like what I'm trying to do to work on bettering my character in order to prepare myself for Ramadan is I have this beautiful book called The Ideal Muslimah. I'm sure a lot of you girls have heard of it. We've done this in my book club. We've studied it as well, alhamdulillah. The Ideal Muslimah is an amazing book that has literally the characteristics of how a Muslim woman should be throughout all aspects of her life. So how a Muslim, the qualities a Muslim woman needs to have in order to be good to her parents, in order to be good in her marriage, to her children, her in-laws, her society, her friends, all of this stuff, to her Lord. It's such an amazing book, and the best thing is like it's got a contents page with all of the qualities, and it breaks them all down, and you just need to go through it and tick the ones that you know, be honest, you don't need to share this with anyone, so tick the ones where you think you are doing well on and the ones that you need to train yourself with. So for example, it could be backbiting, then obviously that's something that you need to focus on. So maybe you can link that to your intentions for Ramadan. So you can make this as an intention, one of your intentions for Ramadan, and that is to not backbite about other people. Again, nobody else needs to see your intention apart from you. It might be a sin that you're very ashamed of, but write it down so you can remind yourself that that sin is something that I'm trying to work on. So again, that's just an example. Also, another thing as a woman that I think is so important is start studying in order to prepare yourself and your character and train your mind. It's really important that you study the women in Islam. So alhamdulillah, so far I've been reading a story about Khadija radiallahu anha, and honestly, it's absolutely fascinating. Alhamdulillah, like it's such an opportunity, like blessed opportunity to read about her, and like she's just such a role model, and honestly it inspires me so much. Like I know that none of us women can be like her or reach to her level, but we can always try, right? We can always try and be the best Muslim we can be. She is honestly such an incredible Muslim woman, and one of the biggest things that inspired me about her was the fact that she was a true leader for us Muslim women. You know, she was there when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the first revelation come towards him, and she was his support, she was his backbone, she helped him throughout, she believed everything she said, and she even worked with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to deliver Islam and spread the love of Islam and grow Islam. So because of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, obviously through the mercy and power of Allah, of course, but obviously Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent down to be a messenger to us and to be a warner of us, and obviously Khadija radiallahu anha, she was a big part of this as well. So again, reading these stories really does make you reflect, and it changes your role models massively as well. So definitely read into that, and again, the more knowledge you gain, and trust me, the more your heart will just fall in love with Islam. Number 13, and that is be prepared to get rid of bad habits, say goodbye to them, because again, throughout Ramadan, it is a way of replenishing yourself from the sins. Remember, Ramadan comes from the word burning, so that means burning off your sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be wiping away your sins continuously throughout the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan is a month where the gates of Jannah are open and the shaitan is locked away. So just use this opportunity, grab it and run with it. Subhanallah. It's really important that you break away from bad habits, because bad habits and sins can really lead to depression and cause you so much anxiety in life. It also allows you to gain the pleasure of the dunya. That's what sins are in this world. They're just illusions, they're pleasures of this dunya that just is there to drive you away from Islam. And you need to realize that. So pick out a sin that you're maybe going through. And again, it links in with the whole intentions thing. Make it your intention to step away from it. For example, your sin could be listening to music, okay? So you can use this time in Ramadan to stop listening to music, or, you know, maybe stop any particular sin that you are going through right now. And obviously in science, it's been discovered to actually break away from a bad habit, you need to be going on without it for 30 days. And subhanAllah, Ramadan is 30 days. So in a way, when you're looking at it that way, Ramadan is the perfect opportunity to break away from one of your bad sins. Now, just focus on one. Do not overwhelm yourself. You have to remember, Ramadan is not meant to be an overwhelming time for you. That's not the purpose of Ramadan. Ramadan is not there for you to have an ibadah burnout. Ramadan is not there for you to just constantly be on top of your ibadah 24/7. That's not what it's there for. It's there for you to take your time on your journey to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even more than you did before, to use this opportunity to take time loving and falling in love with Islam and becoming the best Muslim and Muslimah that you can be, inshallah. Know that bad habits you have and stop them from now. Don't wait until Ramadan begins. For example, if you sleep late, start sleeping early. If you are somebody that's always continuously scrolling through TikTok, delete TikTok, okay? Because if you wait until Ramadan, it'll be there's a higher chance of you going back to TikTok some point during Ramadan. However, if you manage to cut it off before Ramadan, you know, you have that area, you have that transition time where it's like, you know, you delete it, you might get it back, you delete it, you might get it back. But then when it gets to Ramadan, inshallah, you would have gone past that transition phase and you'll transition into Ramadan, you know, getting rid of those bad influences around you. So, you know, if you aren't ready to delete TikTok or any of this social media, just cut it down. Honestly, take your time before Ramadan to just cut down slowly. And then before you know it, when it gets to Ramadan, inshallah, you know, you'll be in a much better place and you don't have to go through that difficulty in Ramadan and that transitioning phase during Ramadan, because it will be difficult. It might sound much easier said than done, but trust me, once you have committed yourself, and it's all about renewing your intentions, once you've committed yourself, purified your intentions, make sincere dua for guidance, inshallah, these bad habits will be easier done with than you ever expected. Number 14 is plan your life around worship, because that's what you're going to be doing in Ramadan, inshallah. So for instance, instead of working through your prayer or, you know, setting up a meeting, etc., at prayer times, plan that you have a break at prayer time. Don't take your phone with you to the place you pray and forget the world as you stand between the hands of the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really important that you designate prayer time to praying. You don't start making excuses that, oh, I need to do X, Y, and Z, but it's Maghrib now. No. You like pre-plan that. You know that Maghrib's at this time, so you know that you're not going to be doing anything else at that time. And you also have to be mindful that Salah does not take more than 30 minutes of your life, or more than an hour of your life, and you've got 24 hours. More than an hour in your life, more than an hour of your life every single day, and you have 24 hours in a day. So of course you would have no excuse but to designate that time. Think about the amount of people that are praying whilst they're at work. They're praying whilst they're at their shopping mall. You are trying to be that person. You are trying to be that person that prioritizes Salah as the number one thing. And that is something that I'm working really hard on. So again, everything that I'm saying, by the way, everything that I'm saying in my podcast is 100% a big reminder to myself foremost. These are just things that I've realized myself that I need to work on. So that's why I'm sharing it with you girls as well. So again, revolving your life around your worship is so important. I have touched upon that, but I wanted to kind of give that its own segment in the episode. Okay, so number 15, and that is to join a community, join a sisterhood community. This is probably one of my favorite ideas and examples when it comes to preparing for Ramadan, because sisterhood and community in Islam is like no other. Think about beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about how many friends he had, how many companions and family members he had. Like, subhanAllah, like that just shows the beauty of growing Islam. So we are all brothers and sisters in Islam. Us girls, we are sisters in Islam. Let's make a community, because trust me, we need that motivation from one another. Times where you are feeling low and you just need that pick-me-up boost, you need that iman boost, have a phone call with one of your friends. Like tonight, inshallah, I'm so excited. I'm gonna have like a nice iman boost conversation call with one of my best friends. So I'm really, really excited to speak to her about it and get ourselves in that mindset for Ramadan, because you know what it spreads so much positivity about Ramadan as well. And it's a conversation starter, and it's just something that you have in common with someone. And you also have to remember, like, doesn't matter where you are from the world, you're always, when your sister's in Islam, you're always going to have something to talk about, because you have one core purpose in this dunya, and that is to please Allah, and that is something that will connect you girls together. For example, maybe perhaps join a book club, join halakha classes, join a Quran class, an Arabic class, set up these, you know, ibadah gatherings. Like last night, I went to this beautiful event that my friend hosted, and it was like this Ramadan reset. That's what she named it as, and it was absolutely amazing. I loved it so much. Like, there was food and snacks, and we had like a couple of speakers and Quran recitation, and we're just talking about like things that we've went through life and how we related to Islam and how Islam made us into a better person, how it strengthened us. And honestly, it was so uplifting and empowering. And then we played like a game, like a Ramadan quiz at the end. It was so fun, alhamdulillah. Like, I absolutely loved it. And you know what? There will be speakers about during Ramadan. They might be available, they might not. Have a look. There might be some speakers coming to events pre-Ramadan. There's loads of speakers right now that are coming to universities and schools and masjids. Make most of it. Trust me, that sisterhood there is there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. Like, I see non-Muslims like being friends with each other, and I just think to myself, you know what, like, alhamdulillah, I've got sisters in Islam, because they are helping me strive so hard to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you need that good company. Think about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had Abu Bakr. He had so many good companions around him who supported him and had so much faith in him. You know, it's the support. You need that support during Ramadan. You know, get yourself involved. If you're somebody that might be quite lonely this Ramadan, go to your local masjid. Go to your local masjid, see if there are events happening. And of course, you're going to meet so many sisters when you go to Taraweeh prayer, iftar parties. Ramadan is just a beautiful month where it's just bringing everyone together. It's a sense of community, and I absolutely love it. Get yourself involved, because it allows you to become a better person in a way that you are making friends for life, and you are making friends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, it's just so fun, and just spreading that positivity and love for Ramadan. If you don't have a local masjid near you, jump online and see if there are sisters out there. Be friends with Muslim, you know, community. There's a big Muslim community of sisters across all social networks, so do get involved. If you're at university, your university will have these amazing events. Go to these events, trust me, like, make use of it, because I remember being at university and I loved going to these Islamic events, and alhamdulillah, my friends are running some now, and it's just amazing, you know. And also, another thing, start a charity project with your friends. That'd be absolutely amazing, because not only are you doing something so amazing for the community and you're being with your friends, but you're going to be reaping the rewards together. And who knows, you could be friends in Jannah because of that. So keep that in mind. Like, subhanAllah, I just think these opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, do not miss them. If an opportunity comes your way to, you know, join a community, join that community. I always tell myself, anything that comes my way that allows me to strengthen my faith in Allah, whether that be going to a talk or listening to a lecture that comes up on my YouTube feed, I will watch it, because I feel like that's something that Allah wanted me to come across, and I should make the most of it, because it will bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, do get involved in your community. Trust me, Ramadan will be so much fun that way as well. Number 16, and that is to start fasting before Ramadan. So it's sunnah to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. So try to fast once a week in the lead up to prepare your body and mind for Ramadan, inshallah. That is something that I'm still trying to work on massively. So inshallah, we can go on this journey together. I knew I really wanted to start fasting throughout winter because obviously the shorter days. So obviously winter's kind of gone now, but for future Ramadans, you know, may Allah allow us to see future Ramadans, ameen. But future Ramadans, when it gets to winter time, it's really important that we make maybe practice fasting then, because inshallah, you never know, that might make it easier for us. So start preparing for Ramadan in terms of fasting, just so you can get your body prepared and your body doesn't burn out or crash in the first few days of Ramadan, inshallah. Number 17, and this is actually one of my favorites, and that is Ramadan food prep. I feel like shopping for food, right, it can be fun, but it can be so boring sometimes. But when you're doing Ramadan food shopping, like, that's a whole new level. Like, you're going to the halal butchers, you're getting all of your halal meats, and you're getting all of these desserts, you're ordering food, and it's just so beautiful, and you set up the dinner table, and it's just so wholesome sitting with family. I know that, you know, obviously our mums and our sisters, you know, they cook so much for us during Ramadan, and it's absolutely amazing. And you know what, if you are somebody that is cooking for your family, even though it might, and trust me, I know as well, though it might be hard, and obviously it's sometimes taking away time from doing ibadah, make your intention that you know, Ya Rab, I'm making food for my family to eat during iftar so that they have something to break their fast with. You know, if you say that, that's it. Like, you're cooking the food that you make, that is an act of worship in itself. That is an act of worship. Why? Because you are feeding your family. Subhanallah, how merciful is our Rabb? Like, the fact that we get rewarded simply for cooking and providing food for other people, it's absolutely amazing. Also, another good thing is like making these Ramadan food packages that you can distribute to your local community, people at the masjid, and prepare these Ramadan food packages for the needy. So maybe go to a homeless shelter and give out Ramadan food packages. You know, make the most of food during this blessed month. Like, you can use food to give to charity, food to cook for people in your home, your loved ones. And also remember, like, try and plan out what you're going to be eating for Ramadan, inshallah. So, like, for example, for suhoor, have something that's going to be very nutritious and that is not highly acidic, and that gives you lots of fibers. So that's really important. So that way it will quench your hunger throughout the day as well, because you've had a very filling suhoor. Please, and take this from somebody who always used to skip suhoor like a long time ago, please wake up for suhoor. Suhoor is there for a reason. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, him and his companions, they'd always wake up for suhoor. Suhoor is there to, one, help you prepare yourself physically for the next day, but also around suhoor time, that is where you are preparing your mind and prepping yourself to pray fajr and to do extra ibadah, because remember, suhoor falls in the last third of the night, so make the most of it. It's there for a reason, subhanallah. So definitely make the most of your suhoor. Just make sure, you know, you plan out what you're going to be eating and things like that, because it will make things so much easier for you. Also, pre-make things and freeze them. I see so many people do it on like TikTok and Instagram, and it's just such a clever idea, because then when it comes to the actual day, take it out of the freezer, cook it a bit, and then you're sorted and you're done, inshallah. So yeah, Ramadan food prep is like my favorite one. I think when it comes to preparing for Ramadan, it's the food that also gets me excited. Okay, number 18, that is to stock up on essentials. So one of my, like, few of my big essentials in Ramadan, and I'll like share these with you girls, is that dates. I love dates. I never used to like dates that much, but I like them now. And I also like making like date protein shake. Like, it's so nice. I absolutely love it, because some dates are a bit on and off for me. Some days I like them, some days I don't. So having these like date truffles, or like making yourself a date shake, it is so nice and filling. So I love stocking up on dates so I can like make different things with it. Also, what I love drinking so much in Ramadan is coconut water. I love drinking coconut water. Again, never used to like coconut water, but I absolutely love it now. So I'm going to be stocking up on loads of that, inshallah, because I love drinking that. Like, when it comes to after Taraweeh, like from that then on up until like suhoor, I'll be just like drinking like 5 liters of coconut water. Don't know if that's good, but it's just something there. And also like painkillers and things. I also, you know, like, for example, Gaviscon. So Gaviscon is like an indigestion medication that you can just buy over the counter and in like pharmacies and supermarkets, because in the first few days of Ramadan I get crazy heartburn and indigestion, and throughout the first few days of Ramadan. So again, it's really important that after iftar you have your medication on time, you know, make sure you have all of these things that are a priority for your health on standby once you finish iftar. And with the whole thing of coconut water, so coconut water is very beneficial because it's a good source of several nutrients, and they have antioxidant properties. These are the things that will be very beneficial to your body, and you're looking after your body internally when it comes to the month of Ramadan. It helps lower blood sugar for people living with diabetes, it can help prevent kidney stones, may support heart health, beneficial after prolonged exercise, and it's just a delicious source of hydration, which I completely agree with. Okay, number 19. Now, I don't know how important number 19 is, but as a girl and as someone who just loves being aesthetic and like, yeah, I just feel like for me this is quite relevant, and that is to get cute prayer clothes and abayas. Now, I don't know about you girls, but I love buying a new abaya or a set of prayer clothes for the month of Ramadan, because I just don't know, it is just something like miscellaneous that just kind of gets me in the mood for Ramadan. Like, it just makes me feel so beautiful about my prayer, makes me feel beautiful about myself, the fact that I'm covering up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is just so beautiful, and I just absolutely love it. Like, I don't know what more I can say, but it's just something nice for you to feel uplifted and empowered as a Muslim woman. And I genuinely think investing in good prayer clothes that you feel confident in, and a nice abaya that you can go to the masjid to and pray taraweeh, is just lovely, and I absolutely love that idea. So there are so many kind of Instagram shops and websites that are uploading their Ramadan collections. Treat yourself. If you feel like you haven't treated yourself in a while, go and treat yourself, girl, because you need it. And yeah, so that to me is just something that's a bit miscellaneous, but it helps me massively because it allows me to feel beautiful in what I'm wearing and beautiful about being myself and my identity as a Muslim woman. Alhamdulillah. And last but not least, tip 20, and I think this is the most important one. Now, if you have sinned a lot, doesn't matter how much you sinned, if you've sinned before Ramadan, seek forgiveness for whatever sin you have committed. Prepare yourself spiritually by seeking for Allah's forgiveness. Subhanallah, Allah is the most forgiving, He is the most merciful. Every single surah that I've read up until Surah Yunus, when I've been doing so far in my Quran journey, so far I'm up to that surah like I've mentioned before, every single surah so far has mentioned that Allah is the most forgiving and Allah is the most merciful. And that to me kind of signifies the fact that Allah wants you to come to Him, and Allah wants you to say sorry, and Allah wants you to genuinely, you know, forgive yourself, and He also wants to forgive you so that you can move on and be the best Muslim that you can be. So again, any wrong that you have done, leave that in the past. I know it's easier said than done, but believe me, if you leave it in the past and let Allah deal with those affairs, and if you actually change yourself for the better, trust me, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account for. He will only take account for your good deeds. He'll also judge you on your bad deeds, but if you repent, then obviously that's a different story. He won't consider those bad deeds. That's how merciful Allah is. And you know what, in the Quran, something that really, really is so beautiful to me, and that again tells us the unlimited kindness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the fact that when we sin, we only get punished for that sin, for that level of sin. We only get punished once for that sin. But when we do a good deed, that good deed, we get rewarded tenfold. Isn't that crazy? One good deed equals getting rewarded tenfold. But whereas if we do one sin, we only get that one sin accounted for that particular sin. Subhanallah. That is showing us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So take that, you know, as a big reminder. Again, this reminder is for myself foremost before I share this with anyone else. But okay, that is it, my girls. So I hope you girls enjoyed this very long Ramadan, first episode Ramadan podcast episode on how to prepare for Ramadan. And inshallah, this has benefited you in some way through the mercy of Allah. And this has given you some ideas and that motivation that you need to prepare yourself for Ramadan, inshallah. If this is your first Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your first Ramadan so beautiful and blissful for you. And may he allow all of us to, you know, see another Ramadan again, you know, ameen. And may he allow us to be the best Muslims that we can be, and may he allow us to use this month to become, get closer to him, and may he allow us to work on our sins and get rid of them completely as well, ameen. So I hope you girls enjoyed this podcast, and I can't wait to come back and share the next episode with you girls again soon. Take care and have a beautiful Ramadan, inshallah. Have a beautiful time preparing with your loved ones in the month of Ramadan. So take care and assalamu alaikum.